الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم النبيين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، الحمد لله الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن دعاء لا يسمع. رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين. اللهم إني أشتكى Respected elders and brothers in Islam, my dear mothers and sisters at home, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, it gives me great pleasure to be amongst you all in this masjid. I think it's been 3 years now. And one thing I must say, that coming to Masjid Umar always feels like coming home. Firstly, because I was born in Leicester General, which is nearby. And secondly, because every year when I come, I find more Zimbabweans here. So I can't help but feel the sentiment of actually speaking in our main masjid in Harare, which is the Ridgeview Masjid. Maybe some of you have visited it. To our Zimbabweans who have come here, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist you in settling. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the move a positive move with no regrets. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon all able, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon all responsible. Now, just before moving along, we all know that we just commenced the day of Jumu'ah, and as I like to make it a habit, if I am speaking on the day of Jumu'ah, to remind one and all the importance of this day. I'm sure I mentioned this hadith to you last year, but there's no problem in reminding one and all of this particular hadith again. It is in Sahih Muslim, a narration by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, whereby he gives cognizance or he mentions something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and in it true cognizance is given to the reality of this day. Now it's important we realize the importance of the day of Jumu'ah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this ummah and this ummah alone the day of Jumu'ah. No other ummah has the luxury of having this day in there or during their week. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَفْضَلُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسُ يَوْمَ الْجُمُعَةِ فِيهِ خُلِقَ آدَمُ وَفِيهِ أُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَفِيهِ أُخْرِجَ مِنْهَا وَمَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ إِلَّا فِي يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ. That the best day upon which the sun rises. Now listen to the carefully chosen words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best day upon which the sun rises is the day of Jumu'ah. On the day of Jumu'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. And on this day, the day of Jumu'ah, Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal al-Wahidul Qahhar entered Adam alayhi salatu wa salam into paradise. And on this very same day, Allah removed him from paradise. So many great events on this day. And it doesn't end there. The hadith then teaches us that the day of judgment, Yawm al-Qiyamah, will not happen except on the day of Jumu'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst all those who are destined for Jannah when we meet Him on the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. So this is just a bit of a reminder, and for one and all to remember the importance of this day. Also on this day, as mentioned in the Sunnah, is the valuable time that exists just before sunset, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never leaves any dua unanswered. So we should take heed in making sure that we make use of the special time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to ask of Him and from Him. Because as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is a dua that never goes unanswered. Now, coming here today, I didn't have a specific topic in mind. But obviously, after trying to work a suitable plot, and not a plot really, but a plan, so that I would tread carefully and make sure we could make full use of the 1 hour or 50 minutes I'll have with you, I managed to come across two of our local British youth and decided to pop the question to them that what do you think is the most current Islamic topic that we should be discussed today? So one of them said, we need to discuss how Islamically we can get through the credit crunch. An interesting choice. The second person said, no, why don't you discuss why Nando's is haram? Obviously, I was taken aback, but not expecting this, these kind of suggestions. However, these were the suggestions that put forward. After analyzing these two suggestions, I decided, or when I heard it actually, an ayah came to mind. And obviously, we're not trying to put anybody down, but this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously revealed the Qur'an, it is the constitution of the Muslims, and in every ayah there is a lesson for one and all. So an ayah came to mind where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the coming of the hour is indeed near. The coming of the day of judgment, which is a very severe day, a day when each and every one of us will be brought in front of Allah and dealt with in regards to how we utilized our time in this temporary dunya, in this borrowed time that Allah lent to us. So Allah says, the coming of the hour is indeed near, but mankind is in a sense of heedlessness. They are in a sense of heedlessness, and as a result of this heedlessness meaning they're not in touch with reality. As a result of this heedlessness, they are mu'ridun. They are lost. They are not in touch with reality. They are in denial. They are in denial. Now, obviously, if we look at the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see that the pagan Arabs lived in a sense of denial. They were involved in activities which the human mind cannot comprehend. And Allah gives cognizance to this in the Quran. They were involved in bearing young girls alive. They were not being just to their women. Women were a form of commodity and trade. They would be used as trade. If somebody owed somebody some money, then to pay off that debt, he would offer his daughter or his wife as a form of payment. These kind of activities were actually taking place. They would actually engage in going around the Kaaba naked. And this was their kind of understanding, indeed an understanding of denial. They were indeed in a state of heedlessness. They weren't in touch with reality and what was needed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we look in the Quran, says a beautiful ayah, and all the ayat in the Quran are beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. That indeed you, O Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are the best of all creations. The best of all creation, the best of all ummas. The Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best ummah. Why? And when? After the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because they carry upon themselves what the Prophet alayhi salatu was salam, or the Prophets alayhi salatu was salam, were commanded to carry. And that was the practice of inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and preventing from evil. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And they believed in Allah. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. And inshallah, if we have time, we'll discuss what is iman. Because many of us seem to understand that iman is just belief, but in reality it's conviction. There's a difference between i'tiqad and iman. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coming back to what we're saying, is saying that this ummah is the best of all ummas. Because of the advent and presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came at a time when people were in heedlessness, but he came with a divine constitution, and he came to invite towards good, and he came to refrain from evil. And thus he took them out from a nation who were engaged in or found themselves engaging and practicing riba and zina, adultery, and going around the Kaaba naked and involved in drinking alcohol, etc. He removed them from that kind of a practicing nation and brought them on guidance. Brought them upon guidance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. The ayah that I mentioned at the beginning. Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ. Allah is the one who sent His Prophet بِالْهُدَى, with guidance, and with دِينِ الْحَقِّ, the true religion. Which unfortunately some of ourselves unfortunately find ourselves in a misunderstanding, find ourselves not realizing the reality of the deen we are upon. Wallahi, if we weren't Muslims, let us ask ourselves seriously, who would come and invite us to Islam? Because we're not carrying the responsibility of the Prophets alayhim as-salatu was-salam as we should, inviting towards Allah, preventing from evil, and enjoining that which is good. So if we are weak ourselves in our ability and relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who would really invite us to Islam? And have we truly realized the ni'mah of Islam? The fact that we are Muslims, the fact that we are from amongst those who have declared the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fact that we are from amongst those who have submitted to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do realize this, then we'll realize one important thing. If you go through the text of the Sharia, in Usulul Fiqh or jurisprudic methodology, there's a method known as al-istiqra wa al-tatabbu', which is the methodology of going through the text, revising, researching, and extracting that which the texts are speaking about. We'll find that Islam came with two things, to do and not to do. It came with two things, to do and not to do. La ilaha is to affirm. You have to affirm the oneness of Allah. So that is doing. La ilaha illallah. So you negating any other deities. You negate every other deity, so you don't do shirk. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam wasn't supposed to do, but he did. Iblis, Shaytan, was supposed to do. He was supposed to bow down to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, but he didn't do. And that was the cause of his destruction. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah forgave him, but he was commanded not to do, not to partake from a particular tree, and he partook. And that's what the Sharia is telling us to do. It's telling us to do in certain circumstances and not to do. Where have we become heedless and have failed to realize that we're supposed to do certain things and not supposed to do certain things? At the time of Fajr, when the Muaddin is calling out, Hayya ala salah. When the Muaddin is calling us to salah, how come we fail to realize that this is something we have to do and instead we don't do? Now I'm not being stereo-minded and saying all of us, but we have to talk in regards to the majority. Why is it we in a sense of heedlessness and fail to understand this is a command from Allah to come and render the Fajr prayer? As Islam came with two things, to do and not to do. And in our businesses, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the extreme danger in engaging in riba and including interest in our businesses, we fail to realize the reality of that and tend to fall prey to shaitan and do. So indeed, if we are living our lives opposite to what's criteria and reality, then we haven't understood what the Sharia has come with and what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has come with. Now, I read an ayah at the beginning where we said that the coming of the hour is close and insan is in a state of heedlessness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in another part, Allah says,
وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا ولهم أعين لا يبصرون بها ولهم آذان لا يسمعون بها أولئك كالأنعام بل هم أضل أولئك هم الغافلون.
Listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah is telling us. He says, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ. Indeed, we have created for Jahannam كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ. We have already created for Jahannam many of mankind and jinnkind. They are destined for Jahannam, we've created them for Jahannam. Why? لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُنَ بِهَا. They have intellects, but they fail to understand. They have a brain, Allah has given them a brain, but they are dumb. They have failed to understand that we're supposed to do and we're not supposed to do. So their spiritual understanding is not there, even though they have a brain. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they have eyes, but they fail to see. They're not blind physically, but they are blind spiritually. And they have ears, but they don't hear. They sit in many lectures and listen to many khutbas, but fail to learn from them. And I said it last year. Who knows why some of us are actually here? Maybe some of us are curious. What will the talk be about? Maybe some of us had nothing to do at home, so we thought, let's be entertained a little bit. And this is the fear of some of these talks that happen today. Some of the things are entertainment. Because if we came to learn, I'm sure many of us would have pens and papers with us. But if we've come just to listen, then we have to ask ourselves, what's the reality of us being here? And some people, as I said the last time, are Hollywood critics. They're here to give an analysis of the talk afterwards. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who have come to learn, so that we have ears and we use our ears the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to use our ears. Not that Allah has given us the physical ability to hear and spiritually we are deaf. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. They are like animals. Who? These people that I've just described, that Allah has just described. They are like animals. Then Allah says, بَلْ. No. هُمْ أَضَلْ. They are worse than animals. بَلْ in the Arabic language is used for al-istidrak. It's rhetorical. As those who specialize in English grammar would understand, it's the rhetorical method of making somebody understand. For example, we say, this person is bad. Then we say, no, he's not bad, he's worse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using this methodology here. He says, those people are like animals. In fact, no, they're even worse than animals. Now, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that? Because, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. They are in a state of heedlessness. They are not in touch with reality. Subhanallah. Now, if we look at animals, a cat, a dog, a lion, any animal, those who study the sciences would definitely agree with me here that an animal is never in a state of heedlessness. They are always aware. Even when they're eating, you find their ears moving, their eyes moving, they are aware of everything that's around them. If you go a bit near, they'll stop drinking and look at you and show you that they know that you're there. They are never in a state of heedlessness, they are aware. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these people who have physical ears and spiritually are deaf, and they have the physical ability to see and spiritually they are blind, and those who are physically intellectual but spiritually unintellectual, these people are worse than animals, because even animals are in a state of animals are never in a state of heedlessness. Subhanallah. So this is what we have to understand, respected elders and brothers. We need to follow in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I said, he came to people who were in a state of heedlessness, who were not in touch with reality, and he made them in touch with reality. The same Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, who we praise today, we love them, we honor them. Those same Sahaba before Islam were engaged in heinous acts like burying their daughters alive, like worshipping idols. Then Islam came and gave them honor. As Umar radiallahu anh says, كُنَّا أَذِلَّا. We were wretched, nobody wanted to know us. نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّلَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. We are a nation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given honor. Through what? Through Islam. يا أيها الناس, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ما غرك بربك الكريم. What has put you in a deception of Allah, who is Kareem, who is honorable, who is generous? Kareem, who is generous. الذي خلقك, He created you, He gave you arms with which you work, legs with which you walk, a heart which beats, subhanallah, with ventricles and atriums, and deoxygenated blood coming in through the veins and oxygenated blood going out through your ventricles. A whole system which, subhanallah, is indeed amazing. Allah, who gave you all this, what has put you in a deception of Him? He created you, He fashioned you, He gave you everything. So why is your allegiance to the dunya? Why is the credit crunch something which is affecting you and making you depressed? And why is the credit crunch and the reason why Nando's is haram the topic of your discussion? Where is the weakness? Why isn't the weakness of your iman the topic of discussion? Why isn't the fact that our masajid are not as full as they should be the topic of discussion? Why is the fact that the Muslims are disuniting more than uniting? Why is that not the topic of discussion? Why is that not our thoughts, the last thought before we go to sleep and the first thought before we wake up in the morning? Why are we in a state of heedlessness? Where have we gone wrong? And this is the question I put out to my dearest fathers and brothers and mothers and sisters. Where have we gone wrong? Islam was the core of knowledge throughout the centuries. We all know in the 18th century, Europe was in the dark ages. They sent individuals to Andalus, the Orientalists, people like Butrus. And if you read the Orientalist books, you'll find that they went to Andalus in Spain to learn from Muslim ulama. How have they left us behind? Subhanallah. Today, even in our strategies in inviting towards Allah, we've been left behind. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being insulted in newspapers across the world, and we're still behind in defending Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we need to say udhran, Ya Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah, we apologize that we truly haven't shown you respect in following that which you taught us. And this is the true following of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We shouldn't, when the newspaper comes out with various cartoons which are derogatory and insulting to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, raise our voices and become emotional. When at the time of Fajr we're not rendering our salah. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted unity, we're disuniting one another, etc. Where have we become lost? I was lucky enough to meet an economist, marketer. His field was marketing. And he's explaining how they would market a simple product like, for example, Frosties, Kellogg's Frosties. Now, his job is to market Kellogg's Frosties. But what does he do? He calls in a psychologist to market Kellogg's Frosties, and he's a marketing expert. He calls in a psychologist. What's the purpose of calling in a psychologist? Now, this shows you how well educated and how well they look into things and plan things. And we're just sitting in the sidelines and remaining in heedlessness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. He calls in the psychologist to understand how a child thinks. So the psychologist says, children are more, or they have a good sense of reality with round objects and not square objects. If you give them round objects, they're more open to round objects. Square objects, they're a bit afraid of. So what does Kellogg's do? They come with a round tiger. The tiger that you find on the Frosties box. And he comes on TV, and the child is watching the TV. And what happens is, this tiger comes on, and to the kid, this is my friend. And he passes a subtle message. And he passes another subtle message. So what happens, you go to the shops now, and the marketer knows that, look, I got to put the Frosties box at the bottom shelves. Why? Because they're short people. So they'll be walking with their parents, and they'll see the tiger, and they'll say, this is my friend. I want a box of Frosties. So to market Frosties, this is real, and this is amazing. I mean, hearing this showed me how forward and advanced people have gone in the secular field, how far they've moved up. And this is another thing which we need to watch out for, respected elders and brothers, that we don't stay, we spend majority of our time watching TV and not reading. We become a nation who's glued to the television. The television is a tool that will indoctrinate you and make you a consumer. And you have to understand this. That is the job description of the television. As small as you can be, you put your child in front of a cartoon, etc., etc. They are training you to buy. That you have to grow up to earn and buy and purchase and be a consumer. And that's the reality of your existence. It's a tool of indoctrination. But the one book that should affect you and act as your constitution, and should we say indoctrinate you, is the Quran of Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, Al Wahidul Qahhar. Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. It's a book in which there is no doubt. هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. A book which is a guidance for those who have taqwa. Which level of taqwa? The basic level of taqwa. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Those people who believe in the unseen. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. And they render their salawat. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And they render their zakawat. And they give charity. They are in touch with reality and not in a state of heedlessness. I want you to participate with me very quickly in a 5-minute exercise. Let us close our eyes, and don't feel shy. Close your eyes and imagine yourself sitting at home on a weekend or any day of the week, comfortable, and all of a sudden you hear a knock on the door. You hear a knock on the door. So your child goes and sees who's at the door. And now what I'm relating to you, I heard it in a nazm, an English nazm, couplet, and it was interesting, and I thought this is something which we can use and participate together. The child comes to you and says, Daddy, the Prophet of Allah is at the door. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is at the door. What will we do? Will we say, just go and say, my dad is not here? Or will it be the child who says, my daddy said I should tell you that he's not here? So obviously we have to accept Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what happens? Do we open the door straight away? Or do we start covering the television? Because there's no way we can pack it. And all those tapes and games that are underneath it, start throwing them out the window. Because British homes are small, it's not like Africa. In Africa we have huge homes, you can store things everywhere. And then what happens to the magazines that are there in the lounge for personal entertainment? Do we have to hide those? And do we have to bring out the musalla and start phoning the neighbor and asking them, where's the qibla? Ask yourselves this question. It's not something that you should answer, but ask yourselves, how ready are you to accept Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Are you in a state of heedlessness or are you in touch with reality? Those who are in touch with reality will be ready to accept Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because they were like the Sahaba who followed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thus they came out of the state of heedlessness. Are you ready to accept Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your home, or would it be an embarrassment the fact that you have to bring him into your home? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Now, know and understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will never come to your door because he is not present. But Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, Al Wahidul Qahhar, your creator and my creator, our nourisher, our sustainer, the one who created us, the one who we will return to, the one who commanded us to worship him, the one who says be and it becomes, is ever watching and is ever knowing our realities and our activities. We should understand this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. How can we act in a state of heedlessness, in a state whereby we are not in touch with reality, and Allah every day is in touch with our realities? Subhanallah. This is the question we have to ask ourselves. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much. Such a love that when they used to leave him and go to their families, they used to feel the love and they used to miss Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what used to happen? They used to come back. As mentioned in Hadith Aisha, that they would, one man came back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, I am so worried because I love you more than myself, more than my family, more than my children, more than my wife, more than my parents, more than anything. And I'm scared that after we pass away, and on the day of Qiyamah when Allah puts you into Jannah, and if I go into Jannah, I won't be in the same Jannah with you, because Allah will put you with the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. Look where the Sahabi is thinking while he's in the dunya. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't say anything. And after a while, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And what does he say? He says,
وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ.
This ayah was glad tidings to the Sahaba رضي الله عنه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tell him that those people who follow Rasulullah, who follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they will be with the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam in Jannah. They will be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they'll be with As-Saddiqeen, the truthful, like Abu Bakr As-Siddiq, because he was Sadiq. He accepted the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa-Shuhada, those who are martyred in the path of Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, والصالحين, and those who did good. وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. La ilaha illallah. Is this ayah not enough for us? Wallahi, we are going through difficulties. These are depressive times. I mean, the reality of the credit crunch or whatever financial standing and material well-being we are in, the difficulties of society, the difficulty it's become to be a Muslim, our iman is being tested, our livelihood is being tested, we fear for our children, they are not in our control because they move out into schools, etc., and they're being indoctrinated. Allahu musta'an. I came from London and there was an issue whereby the parents are old and the Muslim children are putting them in old age homes. This is the realities we are living in. Serious, depressing times. Heedlessness, a state that we are in. Allahu musta'an. This should make us more closer to Allah and make us have more faith in Allah and bring us closer to Allah, that the one person we can't lose is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can take away everything, but they can't take away Allah. If our goal is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can you ever become depressed? Because they can take away everything, but they can't take away Allah. But if your goal becomes certain elements of the dunya, you might be able to attain those goals and you might not. And if you don't, you become depressed. You become constricted. You become upset. You suffer from delusions. You lose touch with reality. Some people question their deen. I'm making dua and Allah is not answering. La ilaha illallah. How can we reach to such levels? We've reached these levels because we have forgotten the realities of our creation and our being here. And let me remind you, as Allah reminds us in His book, why you were created. Allah says,
وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ.
That mankind and jinkind weren't created except that they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can anybody stop you from worshiping Allah? You're depressed about dunyawi issues, but the fact that you're not worshipping Allah, which is the purpose of your creation, it doesn't tickle your memory and doesn't tickle your feelings at all. Nobody wakes up saying, I'm so depressed, I missed Fajr Salah today. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Nobody says that. But the first things we complain about is the dunya, because that's what we've done to ourselves. We are becoming like them. Those people who are heedless, those people who Allah hasn't blessed with the facility of Islam and Iman. What kind of a loss are we in? Somebody gives you $1 million and you squander it. Somebody gives you Islam and Iman and the right track and we're squandering it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So respected elders and brothers, let us not be in a state of heedlessness. And let us come to a point whereby we are in touch with our reality by giving cognizance and respect to all that which Islam said do, and staying away from all that which Islam said don't do. So now I've put in front of you a problem, being idle and being heedless. Now, if we give a talk with problems only and no solutions, then we are also a problem. So let me come with the solution. The solution, respected elders and brothers, my dear mothers and fathers, is in many things. But I want to discuss with you a few things. We need to understand that we as human beings are a heart, and we are meaning we are a heart. That's our makeup, a heart and our physical makeup, our hands, our bodies, our jawarih, your nose, your eyes, and your tongue, etc. We need to take control of these two faculties. Know and understand that you are responsible for your ears, for your heart, for your tongue, for your eyes. Allah says, إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. Allah says that indeed, إِنَّ السَّمْعَ, what you hear, وَالْبَصَرَ, and what you see, وَالْفُؤَادَ, and what in your heart, كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. You are responsible for it. And you will return to Allah and you will answer for it. And I just want to bring a point here why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ. He mentions the aspect of hearing before the aspect of seeing. That's because, as the scientists explain, our eyes are used in a linear fashion. We can see what's in front of us, what's linear to us. But our ears work in a circular fashion. So you can't see what's behind you, but you can hear what's behind you. Subhanallah. Look at the hikmah of Allah and the words of the Qur'an. And Allah says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do you not ponder about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in the Qur'an? أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Or has Allah put a seal, a lock on your heart whereby you can't comprehend? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So when you see something haram, you can immediately turn away from it. You have more control over your eyesight than you have over your ability to hear. Because what you hear, you can't always stay away from hearing unless you block your ears, and even that's not 100%. But all these things have an effect on your heart. What you see, what you hear, what you speak, all these elements have an effect on your heart. And your heart is indeed the most important part of yourself. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا إِنَّ لِلْجَسَدِ مُدْغَى. Indeed, there is nothing about the body except a mudgha, a piece of flesh. إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. If it's correct, then the entire body will be correct. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. And if it's spoiled, if it's corrupt, then the entire body will be corrupt. أَلَا وَهُوَ الْقَلْبُ. Indeed, it's the heart. A person who listens to music, it's because his heart is inclined to music. Who watches derogatory films, it's because his heart is inclined to that. If the heart cannot accept it, his ears, his eyes will not accept it as well. And this is a fact. So it's the heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watches. And the heart has an intake and an output, and just like we learn in computers, we have input devices and output devices. Your input devices is your keyboard and your mouse, etc. Your output devices, your printer, your screen, etc. The output device for the heart is the tongue, subhanallah. And the input device is your ears and your eyes. La ilaha illallah. Now, the tongue, the simple piece of flesh, is impressively sophisticated. The tongue has the ability to taste thousands of different flavors. And the same flesh has the ability to speak hundreds of languages. And the same piece of flesh has the ability to get us flung into the depth of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ يَضْمَنْ لِي مَا بَيْنَ لِحْيَيْهِ أَضْمَنْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. The person who guarantees me what is between his jaws, meaning his tongue, I guarantee for him Jannah. The full hadith is, مَنْ يَضْمَنْ لِي مَا بَيْنَ لِحْيَيْهِ مَنْ يَضْمَنْ لِي مَا بَيْنَ لِحْيَيْهِ وَمَا بَيْنَ رِجْلَيْهِ أَضْمَنْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. What is between his legs and what is between his jaws. But for the purpose of discussion, I'm concentrating on the first part. Whoever guarantees, listen to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Arabic language is extremely apt, extremely appropriate. Every word used is specific. As I explained to you why Allah put the ability to hear in front of the ability to see. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, guarantee for me your tongue and I'll guarantee for you Jannah. La ilaha illallah. This simple tongue has the ability to do great evil which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. The evil of lying, the evil of backbiting, the evil of slandering, the evil of gossiping. Allahul Musta'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And today, for us to come out of this heedlessness, we have to control our tongue. We have to watch what we speak. We need to stop being those people who open our mouths to disunite the community. Because if that's what we're doing, Allah will leave us astray. We need to be from amongst those who don't do ghiba, who don't backbite. And unfortunately today we've become so easy with backbiting. We hear people saying, you know what, I can say it in front of that person. I'm not backbiting, I can say it in front of him. Listen to the definition of ghiba. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks the sahaba, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْغِيبَ? Do you know what ghiba is? They said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and his prophet knows best. Then he says, ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ. The remembrance of your Muslim brother by that which he doesn't want you to remember him by. So who cares whether you can say it in front of him or you can't say it in front of him? The mere fact that you're saying something about your Muslim brother to a third party, which he himself doesn't like you to say about him, is ghibah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says those who do ghibah, it's like eating the flesh of their dead brother. Of their dead brother, Allahu musta'an. Today, we look at such minute aspects in deciding whether something is permissible to eat or something is not permissible to eat. I don't like using the word halal and haram. This is halal, this is haram. Because al-halal ma ahallahu Allah, wal-haram ma harram Allah. Halal is what Allah has made halal, and haram is what Allah has made haram. Allah says, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. Allah says, who is the one who is making haram that which Allah has made halal? So I don't like saying this is halal for you to eat, this is haram for you to eat, if haram for you to consume. I prefer using the terms that this particular product has not met the requirements to be declared halal. That is a more the middle way of going about it. But coming back to the point, we look at the ease. I know in one of the countries they printed out a list of the E's, E45, E75, E85, and I've seen Muslims sitting in the shops, standing with a Kit Kat, looking at the E's. We're concentrating so hard on these little E's that exist on the ingredients forum, but we're spending our day eating 2 kilos of this Muslim brother's meat. Haram meat. Haram, we are consuming haram. The flesh of our dead brother. And the next day we have consumed 5 kilos of another Muslim brother, dead brother, Allahul Musta'an. So are we in touch with reality? Are we not hypocritical to a certain extent? Allah protect us, we're not talking about the hypocrites which pretend to be Muslims and are not. But to a certain extent, where are we? Where have we lost ourselves, my dear fathers? My dear brothers, my dear mothers, where have we lost ourselves? Is our deen not clear enough for us? Is it not something which is simple? Something which is or makes sense to us, something which we can relate to. Our natural disposition, our fitrah, teaches us that what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with was substantial and correct. Fitrah. And ask those who have reverted to Islam. And I've met many of them in Riyadh, and this is what they say, the natural disposition. Those people who literally speak about what was the reason for them really looking for a religion when they were born Christians, for example. And they say the natural disposition, the fitrah, just didn't add up. It just, they weren't in touch with it. What it guided them to, the religion wasn't serving cognizance, it wasn't moving congruently, as they say. It was moving in an antagonistic manner. And Islam moves congruently with us, alhamdulillah. So why, where have we lost it, respected elders and brothers? The next thing, after I've spoken about the jawarih, being in touch with our tongue, our hearing, and I've spoken about the heedlessness of the tongue, we shouldn't lie as well. We should be in touch with ourselves. And make it a point that when you lie, phone your Muslim brother and say, you know what, I said this, I made a mistake. That's the only way you stop lying. Because some people, it's second nature to lie. Fix yourself for who? For Allah. And that brings me to my second point. Al-Qalb. You need to have sincerity, my beloved. O children of Adam. O servants of Allah. O servants of Allah. not servants of one another, not servants of your bank balance, not servants of your wives and children. O servants of Allah, have sincerity, live your life for Allah. This is what Allah wants from you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ.
That they were not commanded except to worship Allah with sincerity, مخلصين, with ikhlas, that what I'm doing is for Allah. If my brother is fighting with me and he's not keeping relations with me, it doesn't matter. I'll be his friend for Allah. Not for him, for Allah I'll keep relations. If my fellow Muslim brother owes me money, for Allah I will forgive him and I won't spoil his name. If my fellow Muslim brother harms me, for Allah I will exercise patience and not attack him. As-sabru fi sadmati al-ula. I will be patient at the beginning.
This statement was said by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that patience is at the beginning. When your brother oppresses you, or when you find yourself in a situation that you become so upset, for Allah exercise patience. Allah wants you to exercise patience at that particular moment. Immediately. Not that you punch your Muslim brother and then afterwards say, you know what, make me maaf. I don't know what happened to me. And you know what, I lost it a little bit. That's not exercising patience.
Don't attack your Muslim brother for Allah. Come to the masjid and read your salah for Allah. Don't be like those people who want people to speak about them that, hey, you know what, that guy, mashallah, he makes long sujood. And if it's even worse, then that guy will say, don't forget to tell them about my fasting. Do it for Allah. Live your life for Allah. Wallahi, you will return to Allah. Wallahi, in front of us is a grave, 6 meters deep, and we will all go inside. And we will be faced with 3 questions. 3 very, very difficult questions. An examination that no preparation can prepare us for. Wallahi, it's an examination which Allah has given us the questions in advance. مَنْ رَبُّكْ وَمَنْ نَبِيُّكْ وَمَا دِينُكْ. The questions are with us, but who can guarantee that we will answer those questions? The only way you will be able to answer who your Prophet was if you were not in a state of heedlessness regarding what he taught you. The only way you'll be able to answer who Allah is if you are not in a state of heedlessness, who Allah was and what your deen was. And in front of you is Yawm al-Qiyamah. Subhanallah. Wama adraka. And what will make you understand what is Yawm al-Qiyamah? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Wallahi, it should make us shiver. How will we be in front of Allah? It should make us shiver that what if we go in front of Allah and we find out that we are one reward less. If we had that one reward, we'd be entered into paradise. Just one. Should this not make us become more in touch with our ibadah for Allah, our charity for Allah, keeping relationship with our brothers and sisters for Allah? Yeah, ikhwan, my dear brothers, do it for Allah. Be in touch with yourselves. Be in touch with reality. You are Abdullah. You are a servant of Allah.
إِن كُلُّ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِ الرَّحْمَنَ عَبْدًا.
Everything in the heavens and the earth, everything doesn't come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except as a slave, except as an abd. You are the slave of Allah. And wallahi, that is the most proud of profession you can have. If somebody says, what's your profession? Say, I'm a slave. Slave of who? Of Allah. Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Al-Wahid al-Qahhar. And this is the reality how you should live your lives. Now, respected elders and brothers, just before the time finishes, we all know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and went. He was the last prophet. There's no prophets to come after him. And we should be thirsty of receiving his guidance and make up for lost time. And learn from what he taught and remove ourselves from this evil, depressive circle of heedlessness. So what do we do now? We need to go to the next best thing. And the next best thing is the ulama. Those individuals who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with knowledge. Now when I say ulama, I'm not meaning everybody who sat in a darul loom and finished 6 years and calls himself an alim is from the ulama. Obviously we're not saying that. And many people complain about this, but we're talking about those people who are rabbaniyin. They fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're there to guide people for the sake of Allah. Not that they talk for the pleasure of the people, but they say what is haqq for the sake of Allah, because they fear Allah and they don't fear anybody else. A couplet or a few couplets come to mind, where a poet says, Alhamdulillah alladhi ja'ala fi kulli fatratin min ar-rusuli baqaya min ahli al-ilm. يدعون من ضل إلى الهدى ويصبرون منهم على الأذى يحيون بكتاب الله تعالى الموتى ويبصرون بنور الله أهل العمى فكم من قتيل لإبليس قد أحيوا وكم من ضال قد هدوا فما أحسن أثرهم على الناس وما أقبح أثر الناس عليهم. سبحان الله. He says, praise be to Allah who made sure that after every prophet came and went, in the time span in between, Allah left people of knowledge there to guide the people. Their job description was to invite people who were astray towards guidance, and because of their knowledge they had the ability to exercise patience because of what those people were doing to them. And in every community, unfortunately, we see it today. Everybody wants to command the alim how to behave. Now, we want to command our ulama how to behave. We don't give them the respect they deserve, and yet they exercise patience. يُحْيَوْنَ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى الْمَوْتَى. They give life to the dead, those who are spiritually dead. How? With what? With the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُبَصِّرُونَ بِنُورِ اللَّهِ أَهْلَ الْعَمَى. Those who are spiritually blind, who we spoke about in the ayah before, they give them eyesight with the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is His book. We need to associate ourselves with them. We need to love them for the sake of Allah. We need to be thirsty and go to them and learn and tell them, teach us that which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, and make us from amongst those who are not from the circle of those who are heedless, but from amongst those who are aware and in touch with reality. Ubbad lillah, servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our time is up, unfortunately. And everything correct in this talk is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect, and any mistakes that I did make were from myself and shaytan. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant sincerity amongst us, to take heed from what was said, and not discuss the pros and cons of the talk, but revise ourselves as we go home, and make a sincere effort for the sake of Allah to change. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us death whilst He's happy with us. May He make our grave a garden from the gardens of Jannah. May He grant us shade underneath His arsh on the day of Qiyamah. May He grant us Jannah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I love you all for the sake of Allah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those that when we leave this gathering, we have left forgiven. And may Allah gather us in Jannah as He has gathered us here today. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.